Actors Talk Podcast, episode 14.
Hey, Tommy, this is Brett Chapin from La La Land Talk. I just wanted to let you know I'm listening to the podcast, and I really like what you're doing. Congratulations on the show, and I look forward to listening to many more. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks to Brett Chapin for calling in. This is indeed the Actors Talk Podcast, episode 14. I am the producer and the host, Tommy G. Kendrick. Thank you so much for being with us for this episode. I am hoping that this is not your first trip, that you've been here before, and that you've come back because you enjoy the content that we're providing. Again, I want to thank Brett Chapin from La La Land Talk. His show is on the CRN Digital Talk Radio, and I will put a link to that on the show notes so that you can find it. It's very, very nice of him to take the time to call in and let me know that he thinks the podcast is worth listening to, and I really, really appreciate that. I also want to say a big thank you to a listener from the UK, Mads Jorgensen, if I didn't just butcher his name, but he tweeted about, I think, 3 episodes this week. Very positive comments about them all, and that was very, very nice, and it's exciting to know that the reach of the podcast is all the way across the pond and beyond. We have listeners from literally around the world, and that is a very exciting thing to know. Thank you very much to Mads Jorgensen. And also, I want to thank a previous guest, Mr. Benjamin Dane. Benjamin was a guest in episode 7, which was about his film that's coming out called Beyond the Farthest Star. And Ben listened to episode 12, which was my interview with Marcus Flanagan, who is an actor and the writer of the terrific book, One Less Bitter Actor. And Ben said this about that episode: Tommy, what a fantastic interview. I retweeted it. It is really great. I want all my actor friends to hear this. Thank you, Benjamin. I really, really appreciate that kind of support. And if you are an actor, please listen to episode 12, One Less Bitter Actor. It's a terrific book, and I think it's a really good interview as well. So I hope you get something out of that. Well, that's enough shameless self-promotion for the Actors Talk Podcast and for this guy here, Tommy G. Kendrick. Let's get to today's episode, which is an interview with a Houston filmmaker. Actually, he's a writer and actor. I keep calling him a filmmaker, but in the indie world, these lines are really blurred. But he is a screenwriter and the lead actor of a new film that's just finishing up post-production called Down by the River. And I became acquainted with his project and him as a writer and actor via Facebook. And once I saw the trailer for this film, I knew he was someone I wanted to talk to on the podcast. And so we're going to do that right now. Here's my interview with Mr. Sean Johnson and the film he wrote and stars in called Down by the River. We're talking with Sean Johnson, who is an actor, a writer, and has a new film called Down by the River that we're going to be talking about. From the bio, it looks like you're a New Orleans guy. Is that right?
Yes, born and raised.
And how long ago did you leave New Orleans? Was that Katrina-related relocation, or was it some other reason?
Yes, it was after Katrina, but I was in Hammond, Louisiana, living maybe 45 minutes away from New Orleans when Katrina hit. So I moved to Houston, Texas in 06, and a hurricane happened in 05.
Oh, okay.
So
did you have family in Houston? Is that why you relocated there? Or?
Yes, my mom, my grandmother, my brothers, my stepdad, mostly all of my close family left right after the hurricane.
Yeah.
And so me being the only one that was in the New Orleans kind of area, I decided to, just pack my things up and just roll too.
I got you. Well, I'm a Beaumont boy, so I'm not that far away. I'm away from Houston, or in a sense, New Orleans. And my wife's born in Louisiana, and her dad was from Morgan City. So I have a lot of fondness for Louisiana and for New Orleans and for Cajun cooking in particular. My wife's really good at that.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So we have some common elements here.
Gotcha. The boudin balls and stuff, they're pretty good.
Oh, yeah. How old were you when you relocated to Houston, if I can ask? I mean, were you still in school? Were you out of school?
Yeah, I was out of school. It was the break from the university that I went to, and I was 21, I believe. Things wasn't going too well with, you know, me being the only one in Hammond and in my financial situation.
Right.
So it was best for me to leave, and I was 21 at the time.
Right. Now, you talk in your bio, I believe, or in some other information I read about you on the internet, that your mom is a well-known playwright in the New Orleans area, I believe. And
yeah.
So you were experienced or were influenced, at least by her work as a writer. What was your earliest attraction to the arts? Grow up thinking, well, I can write, I want to be a writer, or did you think you might become an actor, or were you bent in some completely different direction? Did you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or an architect or something growing up?
Yeah, I was going in a whole different direction. I believed, I thought I was going to be a football player like everyone else, and it didn't kind of work out the way I thought it would. But by my mom being a playwright and very well known in the New Orleans area, we would do plays at, you know, churches, communities, theaters, jails. I mean, we really went pretty far with it, but it wasn't a notable thing to do, I guess, me being, you know, a young boy and surrounded by a lot of guys. You know, your mom is a playwright. It was kind of weird.
So it wasn't exactly the most macho thing to bring up, huh?
Definitely. I always shied away from it. And I was like, but every time she would have a role where I could take my shirt off, I would take that one.
I hear it. Okay. So now, as a kid, because you looked to me, from what I've seen so far, and we'll get into this a little more, but you have a real talent as a writer. Did you develop that, or even in some elementary way, as a youngster, did you keep journals? Did you write stories or anything like that growing up?
Right. I did none of that. I did a lot of imagination.
Okay.
Imagining things like just small things, always imagining a different world or a better world, you know, for me, myself, and my family. But I never thought, like, I never had the knowledge to know what that actually was. And I believe in 04, 05, I was watching a good film. I forgot the name of the film. It was really, really cultivating, and it was really, really well written. And I always wondered, like, who write that? Does the actor come up with those lines, or who does that? Like, I never knew who gave those people those words.
Wow.
And so I went to the library in college, and I found out it was a person called a screenwriter.
Right.
And after that, I literally spent that whole summer just learning about the whole craft. I got the glossary of screenwriting terms and learning every single thing that I can. And I went, you know, and bought a Dell laptop. And that was the first time in my life that I actually was excited to be a part of something and learning something and wanting to be that. And so I didn't know any format or anything, you know, the right way to do it. But I always knew that that was my calling. And I always believe that.
Well, now that's what I was going to ask you, because that's always a seminal moment in any young person, or maybe not so young, whatever their age, when they find what they really think is their God-given talent and calling, and why they were, you know, sort of why you were put on this earth, something you were meant to do. So when you found screenwriting, are you saying it just sort of clicked that way, and you knew that you had that kind of this is it experience?
Yeah, that was it. I literally couldn't sleep for the last 2 days. I was just writing script, you know, learning how to write a script, and I just couldn't sleep because I knew that no one else knew that I found something. And it was like finding the treasure, you know, after all these years, and you just wanted to, like, harness the moment.
I assume that probably pleased your mom as a writer, or did it scare her more than please her, knowing the difficulties that writers have? I mean, it's not the easiest profession to follow. Or did you even consider it? I'm assuming you considered it at that point something you wanted to do for a career.
Yes. I didn't know how hard it would be, you know, to try to break through as a screenwriter. But I knew that I had a talent, and it was very not known in my area, you know, to pursue this. So I knew that I had a chance just for me, by me not knowing anyone that even knew how to do it.
Okay, that's my next question, because this is something I've been talking about with a lot of other people recently, composers and writers and actors and all of us in this business, and that's the concept of mentorship. when I started as an actor in Beaumont, you know, and I didn't have a mentor. I didn't know anyone in the business. I didn't even know at first that this would be the career that I pursued. I just knew that I felt at home as an actor and started to grow in that, but I didn't have anyone to go to for advice. You at least had your mom that you could consult with to some degree as a writer, but you say she's a playwright, not necessarily a screenwriter, and wasn't necessarily, or I don't know if she was involved in, you know, in the film business at all. Did you have a mentor, or did you go about trying to seek a mentor in the business?
Yes, I did. I went about seeking a mentor, and that was my mom, actually, because...
Uh-oh. Sean, we lost each other, doggone it. Hey, Sean, are we back? You were talking about your mom being your mentor.
Yeah, my mom was my mentor, you know, when I left Hammond, Louisiana to come to Houston, and I took some courses at Actor Studio to become a screenwriter, and she really, you know, coming from a playwright background, we kind of made that transition together, you know, into film. And that's when she did, you know, our first web series, Bayou City, and a short film called Consequences.
Hang on a second. What was your involvement in those projects?
Both actors and producers in those projects.
Okay. So where did you begin acting then? I mean, I know where you had the epiphany to become a writer, but were you already acting prior to that? Or was acting something you started doing after you moved to Houston and were they coincidentally near the same time or what?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. And I guess it's kind of a package deal that I do. I mean, if someone wants to buy, you know, a screenplay, then by all means. But as far as me writing scripts, I always wrote them in my point of view, in my, you know, from my experience. So I always was like, well, hey, I might as well act in it. And, you know, I never took any classes for acting, but I figured no one else would probably play the roles that I'm doing, you know, besides me, because I know them as well. But if I find someone that could do it better, then obviously it's going to them.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. When you write, do you play all the parts in your head, or do you just play the part that you think you're, you know, best suited for? How do you do that in your head when you're writing?
The one that I'm best suited for.
Yeah. So when you were writing, and I'll jump ahead just a moment, but I want to keep talking about your background a little bit. But when you were writing Down by the River, did you always know you would play the role of Skyler? And when you were writing that role, did you write it with yourself in mind?
Yes, I wrote it with myself in mind. With the director, William Molina, I met him in Houston, and I had another screenplay that I was trying to pitch to him, but it wasn't working out right.
Okay.
So we started writing Down by the River together, you know, created the story and the concept, right, and it was, you know, based on a true story.
Right.
But as I was writing it, I was like, well, I might as well play the role, you know.
Okay, and we'll get to that in just a second. I want to wrap up one detail that I was curious about from your bio, and that was you did an internship or something like that at Raleigh Studios at some point. How did that work out? How did you get on to that situation? Oh boy, we lost again. Raleigh Studios. Okay, backing up. I wanted to see how you had gotten a writing internship or involved with some kind of a writing program at Raleigh Studios in Los Angeles. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was actually in Baton Rouge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was my mentor, Amir Baraka, and I was in New Orleans at the time visiting, and he was like, well, you know, I got some producer friends that's doing the new show on Mike Epson. You know, let's take a ride out there and see what happens, you know, try to get you a gig or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. So we rode out there, and, you know, it was my first time seeing a major star, and I was, like, starstruck, and all these people with lights and, you know, just, oh, man, it was just a beautiful production. And, you know, we talked to the producer, and he was like, yeah, sure, you know, you could, you know, do the internship or whatnot. And, you know, it was a beautiful experience. And one thing that I learned from that experience is to, you know, continue to stay hungry, you know, in this business, because it's always, you know, you see some people that kind of get relaxed a little bit, and you always have to continue to stay hungry.
Right, exactly. So just to clarify in my mind, when I saw Raleigh Studios, I'm familiar with the Raleigh Studios in L.A. Is this Raleigh Studios in Louisiana part of the same company, or do you have any idea, or is it just a different organization?
Yes, I do believe it is a part of the same company.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know. The film business has grown so much so quickly in Louisiana that it's hard to keep up. You know, we've lost in Texas a lot of our film business to Louisiana because of the tax incentive. situation, but that's very interesting. Okay, let's talk about then down by the river, because one of the questions I was going to ask, you've already answered, and I was wondering if Down by the River was a spec script or something that you wrote for hire. So you said William Molina, who eventually became the director, yes, was his idea. And so did he pitch the idea to you and say, hey, I have this idea, why don't you write the screenplay? Or how did you get hooked up with him?
No, we met through, I think, a friend, some DPs, the Martinez brothers, and we met through them. And, you know, it was telling me, you know, he's a great director. And I was pitching an idea to him. He was like, and we got to know each other, you know, background. And I told him about my sister passing. He was like, hey, well, why don't we write a story about your sister? I was like, that's cool, you know. And I started coming up with the mechanics of it. And, you know, we sat and we drew out the sequences on a writing board and all that good stuff. And we would pretty much plot the idea, and I would take the idea home and write it, you know, overnight, you know, 15 pages overnight, and come back and write the next sequence and have another 15 pages the next day, and so on until we finished the script.
How long did it take you from the time you started the script to get a draft that you were both happy with?
Not even 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah, 2 weeks, because the way I was taught at New York Film Academy to write was through sequences, and they taught me a lot about midpoints and character twists. And I always took that as if I stick to the schedule, then it could be done pretty quickly.
Right. Well, that's impressive. You obviously learned your lessons well, because to complete a script in that amount of time is fairly unusual. I mean, you know, there are guys in Hollywood that work for months and months and months, if not years, on a script. So that's pretty impressive. Was the script that you finished after 2 weeks' time, was it fairly much the same script that you ended up going into production with, or did it change much?
Yes, I think we changed it maybe two times. You know, just small character details and development. We maybe changed it about two to three times, but nothing major.
Now, when you were writing the script, because I assume you had intended with Mr. Molina at the time that you guys would somehow put together a production for this, or was the intention to try to sell it to a different production company? What was the plan going into the project?
It was us using our production companies to create the script, and me just being a writer, and I wanted to act on a project.
Okay, so you guys were intending to come up with the funding then?
Yes.
all along. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Then it halted for a minute because the funding just wasn't there. And then my brother and a partner, LaMarcus Tinker, he acts on Friday Night Lights, Glee. Right. Mm-hmm. A pretty cool brother. And he had, you know, the cash. He was bringing in a lot of cash. He still is. So he was like, well, let's start it. You know, let's you know, come up with a budget, you know, see what we all can do.
Right.
And from there, that's when we started to shoot the film.
Okay. I saw his name on the list as executive producer along with yourself. So I assumed that he had either been one of the funding sources or had raised the money, and you as well. So can you tell me, within a ballpark range, I know you don't want to talk about, you know, too specifically, what kind of budget were you guys able to acquire to shoot on?
The budget started off at, I think, $20,000, because it was, you know, not no special effects or anything like
right.
that, but
mm-hmm.
it definitely went over budget.
Okay. So would I be fair to say the production budget was under $100,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's still a pretty modest budget, and from the look you got on the film, at least from what I've seen, I've only seen the trailer, it's pretty impressive. So William Molina was on board as director, your brother as executive producer, you as lead actor. Are there other family members involved? I think your mom is in a production capacity at some point as well, isn't she?
Yes. She was the unit production manager, the set dresser, and she was a producer on the project.
Okay. So when did you go into production on Down by the River?
2 years ago, I think in September of 2010.
And what kind of production schedule were you on? How many days or weeks, or did you shoot on weekends, or did you shoot straight through?
Right. Initially, we wanted to shoot throughout the 2 weeks that we created the schedule. But with all of our, you know, conflicting schedules, it didn't sort of work out like that. So right. we shot, you know, 1 week straight, which we did maybe 70% of the principal photography. And then we had to, you know, kind of do it as we all were able to.
Now, I see on the credits you have four different cinematographers listed, which is sort of unusual. I mean, usually you're going to have one DP, and your director is an accomplished DP himself. Was the number of DPs you used, was that something that was necessary because you had to pick up production at some point, stop and pick up?
Right. We definitely had to stop and pick up. But The Martinez brothers, they really did the whole of it. I mean, they really worked hard as DPs.
Right.
They did mostly everything, but then, you know, at the end of it, they had a lot of gigs, you know, a lot of paid gigs, and it would be unfair for us to hold them, you know, to our contracts and not let them, you know, make more money.
How did you link up with them?
It's funny because I was at Office Depot and I was flipping through some business cards. I was trying to get some business cards made, and they put their card in there, and I was like, wait a minute. And I called them, and it was like, they talk really, really fast. And they was talking fast. I was talking fast, but on the same page.
That's funny. That's now, are they in Houston?
Yes, they are in Houston.
Okay. Okay. Now, the other thing that is the other thing that's so important in indie film production and is a downfall often is production sound. Your sound sounds really good. Have you had to do a lot of work in post to make it that way, or did you get good production sound?
Yeah, we pretty much got good production sound. We always use the boom mic and et cetera. One of the twins, he was really over the boom, Mario Martinez. So okay. we really stuck good, you know, well on that one.
Okay. So these guys were really accomplished and added a lot of value to the production end. That's excellent. So yeah, because you know, sometimes the picture can be great and the story can be great, but if the sound gets flaky, it just ruins the whole experience, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people will, if they're into the story, they'll forgive a picture that's not great as long as the sound is great, but
right.
it just seems that if the sound is not there, it just, you know, it's really hard to overcome. So then that's a big downfall for a lot of indie films. So it's great that you have great production sound and it's so important. So from start to finish on production, you had a 2 week schedule, but how long did it actually take from start until you wrap the film? Was it several weeks or months or what?
Months, maybe even a year.
Wow. Okay.
We probably finished with all the pickup shots and the B-roll shots maybe 2 months ago.
Now, is this a fictionalized account? You alluded to the fact that you had lost a sister and that was part of the background of the story. Is this really based on your own experience, or is it more of a fictionalized version of that?
Right. The only fiction is in it is the father, you know, the father
it's
was.
It's 3 o'clock.
The father wasn't Oops. Nothing like. I'm
sorry about that. It's 3 o'clock. Okay.
Ain't how that.
You know. Okay, I'm hurrying. All right, no. So the only fictionalized part was what?
You know, the father and some of the characters, but okay. My sister really passing when she was 4 years old was definitely real. I mean, it was the most real experience that I could ever imagine going through.
Now, is her character in the film?
Yes, definitely Hannah.
Okay. So let me. So you, how tough was it to find your Hannah to cast the right actress?
We found a Hannah at first. You know, we couldn't agree to a contract. And so we had to, you know, try to find another Hannah, in which we was, you know, pretty much down and out. And when we did some auditions, there this girl, her name's Adriana Ford, and right. She came and she just blew us away, man. And I was like, this is her. I mean, she was it. She was literally it. And she was phenomenal. So
And is she from Houston?
Yeah, she's from Houston.
Okay. Now, how old is Hannah in the film? Because the character looked older than four to me, but maybe right. not.
Right. No, she's definitely older than four. She was seven in the film, and she turning eight.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that is a real issue when you're doing a film with a character of that age is kids forget to stop growing, you know, over time. And so, you know, it might be more of a problem. Well, I guess be as much a problem with a young girl as with a young boy, but you know, height changes and, you know, vocal qualities can change and all that. Did you have any issues with that since you took about a year to get the film shot? Did you have any problems with that you ended up having to shoot around with having a youngster in the film?
Right. Some parts we did shoot around, but she didn't change too much because we try to, you know, shoot her as quick as possible. But with the adults of the film, that's who we kind of prolonged the schedule with.
Right. Obviously, you were aware of that and knew you needed you needed to get her stuff in the can as soon as possible. Were there any times when you thought, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this off? Or did you always know that you'd be able to make it? It just might take a little longer than you initially had hoped it would.
Honestly, it was a lot of nights, you know, that I had major headaches, major migraines, and, you know, just trying to keep, you know, everything together. But the thought of it not being done wasn't never in my mind. It was more like how and why and all those good questions that, you know, you ask yourself
right
during a struggle. But it was never a moment that I didn't think it would be done. I was just thinking, how can we, you know, finish it?
Right. Now, I see on, I'll bring up something here that I hope you don't mind talking about, but I see on Facebook, you're very open about your faith in some of the things that I've seen you say on Facebook. Is there an element of faith in this film? Is it part of the fabric of the film, or does it play a role in the audience that you're intending it for, or not? How is faith intertwined into this project?
Right, my religion is Christian, and I don't judge anyone, you know, by their religion. So I never, you know, intend to put my religion on people inside of a film. I don't think there's no moments where it's faith-based or, you know, religion. Right. I do believe it's a lot of believing and, you know, seeing that effort to keep going. But I don't think we, you know, shove the religion thing down anyone's throat.
Right. Well, I mean, faith can be an organic part of a project and not shove it down somebody's throat. Like you say, did your faith come into play as you struggled with trying to complete the film, or wondering if it would be completed?
Big time. That's what kept me driven. Because if I didn't have that faith, I don't think I could have kept going at certain times. But that faith definitely was the little engine that could.
Right. Well, that's important. And I think probably that goes back to the fact that you, when you entered the arena of screenwriting, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you felt like that was your calling.
Right.
So I know as an actor, I feel like that's my calling, and I've been at it for many years, and there have been ups and many downs, and, you know, there still are and still will be. You know, when you look at what's going on in your career, you understand in the film business, it's a difficult business. But if you do believe that you're doing what your calling is, what you've been called to do, then even when it's tough, you keep going. So otherwise, whereas if you didn't feel that way about it, you might just say, you know what, I tried it. That was nice. I think it's time to do something else.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So where is the film now in terms of production or post-production?
It's in post-production. The sound is making sure that, you know, the sound levels are fine. And I think the color correcting is probably 95% done. And it's pretty much wrapping up. I think I'm going to see the final copy maybe Tuesday or Wednesday before we ship it off to San Antonio Film Festival.
How many minutes is the film going to end up being, do you think?
Right over 90 minutes.
Okay.
Right over 90 minutes. So right. I'm thinking around 95.
And what kind of rating do you think it will have eventually?
PG-13, I think.
I wanted to ask you about the equipment, because I actually have a lot of geeky types that listen to the podcast, indie filmmakers that want to know what cameras you used and that kind of thing. What camera did you shoot on?
We started shooting on a Canon 5D Mark II, which is a very great camera. For the independent film,
right?
With some powerful lenses, we mainly use these 70-200 millimeter lens, L series, and I think it was 70-200, and I forget the other one, but it was another powerful lens. And then we purchased a Canon 7D, which is pretty much brothers and sisters. Obviously, the 5D Mark II is a stronger camera, but Canon 7D do just as well. You know, with the right lenses, you can make magic.
There are just so many options out there now for indie filmmakers. The technology, it's a very exciting time to be an indie filmmaker or a writer or an actor, because the technology is democratizing the business to a certain extent. And if you really have talent now, you don't necessarily have to wait on Hollywood to call on you or anything. In fact, you shouldn't wait for that, but you can go out there and do exactly what you're doing, which is to put your talents in action and produce a film that will attract people to come to you, which is always the best place to be in, rather than knocking on their door, they're knocking on yours. So So that's fantastic. Well, tell me what happened in the film or in the production of the film that you did not anticipate and you wish you had known before you started. Anything you go, oh man, I wish I'd known that, and next time I'll do this or that a little bit differently because it'll be easier or better. Anything like that?
Honestly, Tommy, I know I had moments like that, but I think I learned from them for the next, you know, future projects, and right. I think I kind of forgot them.
Okay.
Because I can't even think of what would be, you know, oh man. I literally probably forgot them.
Well, you know, there's something to that, because at least you're not somebody who beats yourself up over things, and you know, which can be a problem sometimes. Where you think, oh, I made this mistake, whatever it is, you know, I made this mistake, and you just keep reliving the mistake, and you can't go forward. So clearly, you don't have that problem if you made any mistakes, and you got to figure you made up one or two mistakes along the way. Was this your first feature?
Yes, definitely my first feature. Okay. My first feature out the gate.
So it's safe to say it wasn't perfect, but at least you're not reliving anything that wasn't perfect and letting it keep you down. And that's an admirable quality.
Thank you, Tom.
I am looking forward with a great deal of anticipation to seeing the whole film. I've seen the trailer. I actually saw a few clips that aren't in the trailer on William Molina's demo reel that I located on Vimeo. So if anybody's interested, go to Vimeo and just put in William L. Molina, M-O-L-I-N-A. And there are several shots from Down by the River in there. And you'll see that the look of the film is really, really interesting. It's solidly professional. Congratulations to you and to LaMarcus Tinker and to your mom and to William Molina. If the whole film looks like the trailer, you have something special on your hands. And it was a pleasure to have you on the Actors Talk podcast, Sean. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tommy Kendrick.
Oh, you're welcome. And I hope you'll hope we'll stay in touch. Anything else that you want to talk about the project or casting or any of the other people involved that you want to make sure we talk about?
I just want to say that, you know, creating an independent film wasn't the easiest, but I do feel like, you know, for all your listeners, I think that it's so important, you know, to get the ball rolling in your own hands. And I think it's so important not to wait for a handout, but becoming a standout. And I think that's what we're trying to do. So when a film does come in, and I pray that everyone has the opportunity to see it, you know, through television, through film, through the internet, you know, festivals, whatever, I just hope that it touches people and inspire them, you know, to do what they are called to do in this lifetime.
I can't think of a better way to end the conversation than that. Well said. Sean Johnson, I've taken enough of your time today, and we had some excitement with Skype playing a role, but we'll take care of that in post. Thank you again so much. It was a real, real pleasure meeting you, as this kind of meeting goes, and I hope to meet you in person sometime. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Tommy.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Thanks so much to Sean Johnson, writer and actor in Down by the River. Hey, production that took place within the last year in Houston, Texas, is now wrapping up post-production and ready to hit the festival circuit. Man, I tell you what, if the whole film is as good as the trailer in quality and story and acting, it will be a very special indie film to keep track of. Down by the River. Don't forget that title. Look it up on IMDb, on Facebook. I'll have links to all that on the show notes. Thank you, Sean. It's a pleasure talking to you. Always a pleasure talking to exciting young talent. Man, makes me wish I was young again. Just another reason. Oh, boy. Well, thanks, everyone. This is Tommy G. Kendrick. I don't know if I said that at all today, but that's who I am. I am the producer and host of this here Actors Talk podcast, and I want to thank you so much for joining me here. Getting some great feedback. It's so encouraging. And I appreciate it. And I hope the content is something that all of you can use to make your careers more enjoyable. Hope to see you in the movies. And until next time, God bless you all. Follow your dreams. Hopefully your dreams are the same as your calling. God bless. This is Tommy. So long. episode 14 is a wrap.